We've been your job search besties and helped you in some way. There's a cool way you can support the show. Shout us a virtual coffee.
We get a huge kick out of reading all of your success stories. Head to buymeacoffee.com/interviewboss and shout us a cuppa.
If you keep us caffeinated, we can keep the content coming.
But, I feel like that's a them problem. I feel like that's a them problem, you know? You'd be like, oh, look, we just didn't get a chance. Like, we talked about so many other things.
Hey, everyone, and welcome back to Interview Boss. My name is Emma. I'm a radio journalist who's teamed up with my sister to give you advice, inspiration, and support when you're looking for a new job. Sarah is a HR and recruitment professional, and together we're excited to give you all the tips, tricks, and behind-the-scenes knowledge to help you in your career.
Hey, Em, and welcome back, everyone. It's time for my favorite and Emma's favorite part of the podcast, the Shoot Your Shot shout out. Fun fact for people who are listening, we didn't start with this segment. This was a segment that we created for the listeners because we kept unprompted getting people telling us about their awesome stories. And then someone said, I'm shooting my shot, and we named it after that listener. Do you remember that?
Yeah, it was the listener that gave us the idea. I mean, yeah. I was the one who used to say, shoot your shot, but she's the one that reminded us about it. And then we coined it our segment.
I think it was he.
Was it?
And it was on Facebook, like early days. Yeah. So fun fact, this is really, truly a listener segment. And this is where we celebrate you guys, our incredible listeners. You've listened. You've taken on the advice, you've gone out there, shot your shot, and you've got an update for us. And this week, our shout out goes to Amy, and she shouted us 5 coffees. So much shouting. But thank you, Amy.
Yes, we're not shouting though. She said, after 10 years at my job in the TV industry, solidarity for the media girlies out there, I was made redundant and felt like absolute shit. I was definitely stuck in a rut at my old job and had no career growth due to management always giving opportunities to favorites and leaving me behind. After taking a month-long holiday, how did you get a month off? That's unheard of in this industry. I started looking for jobs. I didn't apply to just anything. I wanted the right fit for me and I wanted it to be a good match. So the only job that I applied for, I got a call for an interview 4 days later. Having not done an interview in 10 years, I panicked and started prepping by listening to your podcast. I took notes, was totally prepared and absolutely aced the interview. The listen to this right before your interview episode helped too. I was totally confident in answering the salary expectation. They called a few days later for a coffee chat with the GM, but I knew this was actually a second interview. I didn't fall for it, and I listened to those relevant episodes. Again, I walked out feeling great, and they called me to offer me the job the next day. I negotiated my butt off to push them to the absolute max salary, thanks to you guys, and now I'm getting paid 50K more than my old job. And the funniest thing is, the office is right down the street from my old work, so I'll definitely be running into ex-colleagues and I'll have a huge smile on my face when I do. It's pretty funny when I'm parking right outside my old work. They must be very confused. Anyway, thank you, ladies. You rock. Episode suggestion is navigating redundancy and feelings of worthlessness.
Mmm. Oh, I love that story. Thank you for sharing, Amy. And also, I really love the like and felt like absolute shit. I just think that really captures the feeling. And we have done a couple of episodes on the feelings that come up with redundancy, like a few things around that. But maybe it's time for another one. Maybe it needs to be revisited.
Yeah. I'm imagining your old workplace being like, why is she still coming to sit in her car out the front of the building every day? Like, she's obsessed with us, but you're down the road getting 50K more.
So good. And the fact that it came out of nowhere, she was made redundant, just caught off guard, devastated, but upon reflection had kind of been stuck. And then this kind of reinvigorated her whole, like, I want to find something amazing. It just goes to show that sometimes when you're on the other side of everything, you look back and go, actually, that was a good thing that happening to me. Not trying to say that it's always a good thing, but sometimes it can shake you out of somewhere that you're too comfortable and you're not actually that happy.
Yes. If you want to be like Amy, get out of a place where you're feeling a bit stuck, land a new epic role, and you need a little bit of help to get there, you can check out Sarah's one-on-one interview coaching sessions. Her availability has increased now that she is a full-time interview bosser, which is exciting. There's also Interview Academy, which is on-demand help right now, a step-by-step guide to walk you through brainstorming your best bits, coming up with your career story, and a cheat sheet that you can take with you into the interview.
Yeah. And I've been recently looking at some of the insights from Interview Academy, and I'm making some improvements, which is really fun. There's some new features coming. But most people in Interview Academy have an interview within a week. That's how quickly you can go through everything. And if you are that crunched for time, we have so many episodes. Yes, they can help you. But if you want to get the exact right information in the exact right order for your interview coming up, maybe that's something you need to look at. Go and check it out, interviewboss.com.au/coaching.
As always, if you love what we're doing, want to request an episode on your conundrum, kindly follow us on Instagram and slide into our DMs. That is exactly what Joanna did this week, and we're dedicating a whole episode to her. We did already get back to her with the TLDR version of this episode, but this is for the rest of you if you ever find yourself in this position. So this is what she sent to us. Hi, interview bosses. I recently discovered your podcast and it's pure gold. There just aren't enough trustworthy voices in this space, so thank you for sharing your expertise. I have a pressing question about transparency in interviews and would appreciate your advice. I recently had a successful first interview for a role I'm really excited about. I wasn't asked and didn't disclose that I was fired from my most recent job as head of fundraising for a nonprofit. At the time, I thought this was a win, but after listening to your fired episode just a few days too late, I realized this may have been a tactical error. Now I've been invited for a second interview with the same hiring manager who led the first interview, along with the CEO. I'm wondering, is it too late to come clean? And if not, how can I bring it up without blindsiding the hiring manager or making her look bad for not addressing it in interview number one? Here's the background context. I took on a head of fundraising role at a not-for-profit. It was a stretch role for me, but the CEO knew that and promised training and support. Once I was in the role, I discovered the organization was much less stable financially and programmatically than I was led to believe. I gave it my all for about a year before voicing concern about some issues that could impact our standing with funders. At that time, I was validated by the CEO and reassured that these issues would be addressed, but not much changed. A few months later, I was asked to increase a major revenue stream with no clear strategy or support. I expressed that I didn't see a viable path without guidance. From there, trust broke down, my earlier concerns went unresolved, and while I was already job searching, I was ultimately let go before I could transition out. I did gain valuable experience in this role, and I'm eager to bring these skills into a new position, one that offers a similar breadth of responsibility but isn't the sole fundraising position. Any advice on how to handle the next interview would be incredibly appreciated. Thank you, Joanna.
So here are our thoughts. First of all, if you are in this situation and you're listening to this, go and listen to the You're Fired episode. We'll make sure that it's linked below so that you can hear what Joanna heard a few days too late and be a little bit proactive about hearing all of our advice from that. But if you're asked about it in this second interview, even if it's indirectly, like they say, oh, what have you been doing? Or why are you interested? Like there's just some kind of opportunity to talk about something, then you have to tell the truth. Have to. Just want to get that out there. And that is basically the gist of the You're Fired episode. That's what we talk about there as well. But I do think in this situation, it didn't come up in the first one. That's okay.
If they ask you anything that remotely leans into being able to answer the question, do it.
Yeah. And even if you get the opportunity to answer something like a, tell us about yourself, tell us why you've applied, why you're interested in the role, walk us through your CV, like any of those kind of career story type questions, be prepared to address it briefly. It doesn't have to be like a big deal, like you spend ages telling them the whole story about everything that happened and blah, blah, blah. But you want to be the first person to bring it up. but even though that it didn't come up in the first one, I think it's okay. You can kind of say, oh, look, I know this didn't come up in the first interview, but here's the story.
Yeah. I think maybe the worry here is that, well, I'm going to look like a big fat liar because why is it coming up in the second interview but not the first? But you can see how that could happen. If the interviewer just really didn't touch much on their last role or what led them here, they might not have felt inclined to put their hand up and go, oh, I was fired. Are you going to ask me? I was fired.
Yeah, that's right.
Like, no one wants to do that. So,
and I really loved that Joanna pointed out, I don't want to make the hiring manager look bad in front of the CEO because I can kind of see what she's getting at there. Like, suddenly it comes up, oh, yeah, I was let go. And the hiring manager's like, oh. And then the CEO thinks, did you not cover this in your first round? Like, why are you bringing me a candidate that you didn't even know that about? That would be kind of awkward.
That's very insightful.
It is. But, oh, I feel like that's a them problem. I feel like that's a them problem, you know? You'd be like, oh, look, we just didn't get a chance. Like, we talked about so many other things. Like, you could jump in and kind of cover them if you wanted to or you really felt like it. But I don't think you can take the fall just out of feeling bad for the hiring manager.
What would that actually sound like, though, if you were saying that in your Tell Me About Yourself?
Yeah. So whether it's in why have you applied for the role, some version of that where you wanted to mention it, it doesn't have to be a big deal. I think people are always really surprised when you cover it truthfully but briefly and like, oh, cool, everybody moves on. And you'll hear this and think, oh, that's fine. I could probably say that. So try this out. So that role as the sole fundraising role was a bit of a stretch for me. I achieved a few things, X, Y, Z, you can give examples, and I learned a lot. But ultimately, what they were really asking for me in that role and my approach to fundraising weren't really the right fit. So I was let go from that role. In my next role, what I'm really looking for is, and then you can kind of clarify as Joanna was talking about, I'm looking for something that has that same level of responsibility, but I need that support or I need like issues to be addressed.
Yeah, the teamwork environment.
Yeah, or I want a really stable set of programs or set of fundraising offers so that I can do what I do best. Or I want good relationships with my fundraisers, or funders, whatever you call them. Those things that you can kind of clarify to go, these things are really important to me because I didn't have that in my last role. And yeah, I think it's a nice segue into like talking about values, talking about culture fit, talking about what you achieved, all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's so simple. And she doesn't need to spell out the whole situation of what happened. If that's something that they feel they need to know, they might ask a follow-up question. That's fine. And I think it's important to clarify here that the thing we're afraid of isn't them finding out and knowing. It's that they could find out later once you have the job and are surprised by the information and it feels like they were lied to.
Yes, it's a much bigger deal if they find out later. It's not like they need this information and you need to make sure that they know it. The issue is if it comes up, it might come up later, references, for example. Cool, let's talk to the CEO, right? And you've then got to explain why you don't want them to talk to the CEO when they don't know why you left. Like, there's just things that could come up later and they'll be caught off guard.
If they do get through to the CEO, and then they're like, hang on, why didn't you tell us? And then there's a really awkward confronting of the lying. But then at the same time, what if 6 months down the track, you're in the tea room making a coffee and you in passing with your colleague that you're great friends with now say, yeah, well, my old boss, like, you know, the one that fired me or, hang on. What do you mean? What do you mean? It's just a bit awkward.
Yes. I live in fear of that. Like, I don't have a good enough memory to be a liar. Truthfully, like, that's how I think it's such a pragmatic way to, like, very practical way to not be a liar. It's not necessarily, you know, morals or ethics. No, of course it is. But you would have to keep up with like who knows what and how do I make sure that they don't find out?
Yeah, that's too stressful. So,
hey, Interview Boss listeners, if the podcast just isn't doing it for you and you need way more help to prep for your next interview, we have the perfect thing for you. Interview Academy. Em, tell us all about it.
This is huge. This is the love child of Sarah after doing hundreds of one-on-one coaching sessions, finding out what people struggle with the most, common mistakes. Sarah has created the ultimate course that you can do in your own time, self-paced, heaps of modules, videos, interactive quizzes, a workbook that will become your Bible by the end that you can take with you into your interview. Because if you're a long-time listener, you know that we endorse taking notes into your interview. It's a game changer.
Check out more about it at interviewboss.com.au/interview academy.
Yeah, obviously we strongly advise against wiggling your way around it or deliberately trying not to mention it. Honesty is always the best policy. Even if it didn't feel like there was room for it to come up in the first time, addressing it as soon as you can, even if you have to sneak it in there subtly somehow, is always going to be the best option.
Yeah. And I think, again, it's, you don't need to like force them to know it and to like not walk out of there until they know. It's just that if you're in a position where you have to say something else that isn't quite true or the full story, that's not going to look good later. And I'm foreshadowing a bit here because do you find yourself, by the way, watching those like, it's always on Facebook, videos of people reading out like Reddit stories?
Yeah. And it's always a little person running around on Minecraft while they read it out.
Or like a creator or two people on a couch or like whatever. And they discuss between themselves what they think the person should do or whatever. It's always that. I see so many. I just love those kind of videos. I'm addicted.
All those am I the asshole ones? They're so good.
Oh. It's just such a study of humankind. And I really like seeing like what my reaction is versus what the people think and seeing like, am I on par with whether I think it's unreasonable or not? Anyway, my favorite part is when they tell the story and then they go, update. And then you get to hear what actually happened. It's so good because it's like, otherwise it's like watching the first episode of a new series and then you just never hear again, ever again. What happened? It's like very frustrating.
Here's the update from Joanna. She said, because we chimed in and said, so sorry we missed this.
Yeah, because she was like really, really close to the next interview coming up and we didn't get back to her in time for that next interview. And when I messaged, I was like, oh, I think it's been the 2 days. I think she's already had the interview. Oh, I'm so sorry. Here's what I would have said. Please let me know what happens anyway. Honestly, I think by listening to the episode, she could have worked out what we were going to say. Anyway, and here's her update.
So she said, I did have the interview and actually I didn't mention it. I was totally prepared to, and then they never really gave me a chance to. There was no intro, tell us about your past experience question, no mention of the 2 month gap in my resume. I was completely ready to address it, but I also didn't want to be like, by the way, you may have noticed that I left my last job 2 months ago. Actually, I was let go. This isn't the first time that this has happened. If you ever revisit this topic on the pod, I'd love your advice about what to do when the interviewer really doesn't ask. They've called my referees, including my colleague, not my boss, from the organization that let me go, and I'm expecting an offer imminently. So in this case, it did work out, but I would love your perspective for the future.
Isn't this interesting? What are your thoughts?
The plot thickens. I'm a little scared, but like...
Me too.
Game on, I guess.
I'm a tiny little bit apprehensive for Joanna that things go wrong in the future. But also, I'm kind of like, well, all's well that ends well. Like, I kind of agree with her. If she had said, hey, before I go, I just wanted to... That would be really weird.
Yeah. It would flip it on its head and feel kind of halt the progress.
And like almost give a bit of an insecurity thing about having been let go, which is kind of the opposite of what we're trying to give off. We're trying to give off like, yeah, this is what happened, unbothered, whatever. Whereas like going, oh, by the way, I was this.
Yeah, I have to let you know because it's eating me up. Like, yeah.
Yes. It feels like you're desperate to let them know and like, you know, it's going to be an issue. Whereas we're treating it as just, it's not an issue. It happened, but it's not this big deal. And so I kind of agree that that would be really awkward to kind of force it in there. I am shocked though that this is something that organizations do. Like, let's just say that Joanna wasn't one of our wonderful listeners who had this whole very justifiable, very understandable story. And that happens a lot when people are let go. It's not always some horrible, horrific thing. Often it is just like she had decided, I can't stay here. And they were like, yeah, we agree. And they just happened to move first.
They just beat her to it.
Yeah. Like, it's not the end of the world. And it sounds like she did do some good stuff there. She's still got one, you know, a couple of good references, whatever. That's not always the case. Let's imagine, though, that Joanna is actually like, you know, they were this close to actually taking charges against her from stealing money from the fundraisers. Imagine it was that. And this new company.
You don't want a person like that anywhere near your fundraising pot. You really need to ask.
And I tell you what, the person who's going to skim money isn't going to tell you that they were fired.
No, no way.
They're not going to bring it up. And the best chance you've got is to proactively ask, at the very least. They will probably lie about it or, you know, obfuscate the truth or try and get around it or whatever. And that's why you go, cool, I want your references and I need to speak to your previous boss. And then when they go, oh no, I'll just give you a colleague, the boss is away or whatever, then you go, no, what, like you dig deeper and you kind of force them to be like, oh, well, I can't because I was let go. Like you eventually get to the truth. And you're not doing it for people like Joanna. That's not the reason that we do those things. It's we do them to protect the organization and protect the other people that work there and all these things from people who've done bad stuff. And I'm not saying—
Can you just hang on for a second. Can you imagine the imaginary character who stole from the fundraiser in an interview going, yeah, so I was actually let go from that role. It wasn't a good fit because I embellished $80,000 of the company money. So in my next role, I'm looking for a company that won't audit their finances as regularly.
Or I'm looking for a company that does have more stringent controls in place so that I can't get away with
because
it again.
Because I can't be trusted.
Oh man.
That's great.
So I guess maybe once Joanna's in, maybe she should encourage some updates in their hiring practices because I'm concerned for them, frankly, that they just never asked.
Do you agree? I think what helps here is the 2 month, like it being a very short gap. Somehow I think this helps because I sort of feel like if there's a big gap, it's been 6 months. It seems a bit more like obvious that, well, what have you been doing all this time? Were you like it seems a bit more suspicious.
Nobody asked.
Yeah, no, it seems a bit more suspicious. But when you were only in work again 2 months ago, it kind of seems like you could have just left because you were over it and you've been job hunting for the, like there's an element of that that makes me feel like it's more understandable that they didn't ask about what or why.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, she could kind of say like, oh, well, I applied for this job when I was still working there actually. And then it just so happened that whatever, like that may have been the case because she did say she did set the job search early. So that might help with the like colleague thing later where you're just like not able to ever talk about it again. That might help with that because you don't have a gap to explain. And so maybe it just never comes up. But I do find it quite funny that they didn't ask. And even the fact that they just accepted, oh yeah, we'll speak to your colleague of your previous role, like that's quite interesting. Part of me, this is like random out there theory, but maybe they know already.
Ooh.
Maybe they know and they don't care.
Maybe. But hang on, you have this crazy take that Joanna actually could, once she's in the job, fess up and say, I was actually hoping to mention this in the interview, but didn't get a chance. Like I actually was let go. Are you endorsing that she could say that?
No, I'm just saying she has the ability to hand on heart say that in the future if it came to that. Does that kind of make sense? Like what I'm kind of calling out here is that the important thing is that she was willing and prepared to talk about it. She just wasn't given the opportunity. What I would be extra concerned about is if she'd said something like, oh, I left there because the values didn't align, or like if she'd said something else about what happened there that wasn't true. Whereas in this case, she hasn't given them any reason why she left that role. There's no alternative truth happening. It just wasn't discussed. And so if it did come up, she has the full ability to be like, yeah, look, I actually was hoping to mention it in the interview, but it just, like, I really didn't get the chance. I was hoping to kind of mention it. But yeah, look here, I'm happy to tell you everything. And you've spoken to my colleague. And I think you still need to have that same.
It's not as if she was doubling down and going, yeah, you will not waterboard this information, yes, out of me. Like, yeah, I'm taking it to the grave. Right. She was willing. Yeah. And we love you for that, Joanna. You had your heart and ethics were in the right place. It just didn't work out.
And so I'm not suggesting, again, that you proactively be like, oh, by the way, I was fired in my last role, because I think it would still be weird later on. I'm just saying, if it did come up and they were like, hey, we just found out this information, she could be like, yeah, look, I was hoping to be able to get a chance to discuss it and to explain in the interview, but honestly, it just never came up and I didn't even get to talk about why I left there or anything. So yeah, sorry about that. Like, and that's fully genuine. They can look back and be like, yeah, shit, we really didn't ask.
Yeah, that was on us. Yeah.
Yeah. You haven't got to walk back a different story, I think, is the key here. You were willing and able and you were prepared to talk about it. Being open, even when, you know, that conversation does happen at some point in the future, if it ever does. My other tiny baby little worry is, what if they talk to your colleague and as the reference and they say, why did she leave this role? I just wonder whether the colleague is like, oh, I don't know. I was only her colleague. I'm not sure what happened in the end.
I mean, if you're putting your colleague down, you're putting them down as an ally. They're not going to dob on you.
Oh, yeah, but like, what if they're asked directly, point blank, did she resign? I don't know. That could be a hard position to be in as the reference. Like, you're not meant to lie. Like, they can come back to the reference and be like, you knew this and you lied to us. And yeah, that can be a problem. So I just hope that that doesn't happen with the colleague. But I think it's all going to be fine. I think it's all going to work out.
It's all going to work out. Just be careful what you say in the tea room.
Yeah. But again, I think you want to take the approach of like, you've never hidden it. I just think that's the way to go about it. Because the concern here isn't like that you can't have them ever know or that you have to have them know. It's that you don't want to be seen as hiding stuff. And if they didn't ask, they didn't look into it, they didn't want to know, well, frankly, that's on them. Maybe they're not interested about that. Maybe they don't care about people's backgrounds. Fine. Cool. I wouldn't recommend that you deliberately try and recreate Joanna's situation, because I don't think it's likely that that happens. But then she says it's happened to her before. No, just people don't ask. I'm baffled.
Do as we say, not as Joanna does. But if you do find yourself in Joanna's situation, don't freak out. It's not the end of the world. As long as your intent is there to be honest, you have our tick of approval.
That's right. And you're not weaving a web and telling other stories and whatever. I think you're going to be okay. And if you did steal money and you're not sure how to talk about that, well, honestly, I think that's going to take a coaching session, because I don't know, honestly. We're going to have to workshop it.
Keep those paws out of the petty
cash. I'm going to have to think about it. It's not the end of the world. People have careers after that sort of stuff. Think about all the mediocre white men who've done something horrible and managed to continue having a career. Like, we can too. Thanks so much for listening to Interview Boss. If you like hearing the sound of our voices, follow us on Apple or Spotify or wherever you happen to listen to this. Or better yet, tell someone else about the show. That's how we can hit the charts and help even more people all around the world. For more advice, inspiration, and some behind-the-scenes content, check us out on Instagram and kindly chuck us a follow. Can you believe we started Interview Boss in 2021?
Not really. It's insane. That's a lot of episodes and a lot of hours of talking.
Oh my gosh, it is. And if you're scrolling through all of our episodes, you might scroll straight past something that you really, really needed.
Yes, we're always getting messages from people asking us to do an episode on something. And I'm like, we already have.
So we've put together playlists to help you find the episodes that are exactly what you need, suited to your situation.
They're all categorized. If you're applying for jobs, we have episodes about resumes, cover letters, job ads. If you've been offered your dream job, we have episodes on resigning, exit interviews, and how to impress at your new company.
And we even have a very special playlist that's very popular for if you have an interview coming up immediately and you need just our most recommended hard-hitting episodes between now and then.
For all our last-minute listeners. It's all there for you. You can browse by category and check out all the playlists at interviewboss.com.au/podcast.